raised in this church, and I appreciate him and love him and thank God for him coming. Brother Terrell, you come preach to us today. Lord bless.
It is a joy to be here in the Lord's house this morning. We praise God for his presence and the preaching of the Word of God. Thank God. Let's open our Bible this morning to Acts chapter 1. Brother Doug certainly defined a problem for us, didn't he? Laid it out, and I agree 100%. And yet we move over to the church age, and I believe that God had the answer for that problem.
Amen.
Amen. I believe he did. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." May God add his blessing to the reading of this portion of his word. I want to speak upon that subject for a few minutes this morning, the subject of power. Now, these are our Lord's last words before ascending to the Father, and they are a revelation of God's plan for the church, and his plan for the church as a whole, as well as his plan for each individual believer. And he speaks also of a great necessity in carrying out his plan. And of course, that is power. A wonderful plan, a glorious plan, but a plan that would not work without power. But he said, you don't have to worry about that. After the Holy Ghost is come upon you, you will have the power that you need to carry out my program in this world. Now, the true Christian realizes this necessity. You know it. Brother Doug laid it out very plain this morning. The true child of God comes to that place in their life when they lay aside so much of their trying and go to depending upon the power of the living God. God has given us that power, but there's a lot of misunderstanding and a lot of misconception concerning God's dispensing of that power. So this morning I want to look at three things stated in our text with which God associates his power. I do not believe that God just dispenses his power to anything. I don't believe that he gives power to any program, religious or otherwise. I believe it has to be in accordance to his divine will and what he has said in this book. Now, we want power. Everybody wants power. And we that are saved by the grace of God should desire the power of God in our lives and in the work that we do for him. First of all, God's power is associated with a divine person. He said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Now, spiritual power is by the Holy Ghost, but there's a distinction to be observed here. The truth is, you may have the Holy Ghost and yet have but little power. But there's one thing about it, you can't have power without the Holy Ghost. You can't do it. I mean, there are many people that possess the Holy Ghost. They're saved by the grace of God. But due to various reasons, they don't have the power of God upon their life. You know, Paul said, "For the gospel came not in you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost." Now, the power of God is associated with that divine person, the Holy Spirit himself. But having been saved, and therefore having received the Holy Spirit, there must be an acceptance of his person. Now catch what I'm saying here today. I believe that everyone truly born again has the Holy Ghost. I believe that. But you know, it's one thing to receive a person into your dwelling, but it's altogether a different thing to accept that person. I might be forced to receive someone into my dwelling. That does not mean that I accept them. I must welcome and love the Holy Ghost in order to experience the power of the living God. You see, he indwells everybody saved by the grace of God. But I fear there's some in whose heart he's really not that welcome. He's really not that much at home. But blessed be the Lord God. How to welcome him, how to love him, how to cherish his presence is to know something about the power of God. And friend, the truth is, without God's power, we're drawing a blank every time. Oh, what do you think of his presence today? I know you're glad you're saved, but I'm asking you, what do you think of God's presence in your life? Do you welcome him? Or is he at home in your heart? Can he feel welcome there? Do we try to crowd him out with self and sin? Or is he at home there? How does he love being there? How does he love making his presence known in my own heart and in my own life? God's power is associated with a divine person. There should be an acceptance of his person. There should be an adjustment to his purpose. Amen. If you want the power of God, it's like this. He is sovereign. He is a sovereign God. And brother, if I'm going to have his power, it's his way or no power. It's as simple as that. He's going to have to guide my life. And by God's grace, I will have to bring my life in line with the purpose of God. You can't be diddled around on God and expect his power. You'll have to get down to business. You'll have to surrender your life unto him. My friend, he'll take care of the power situation. You won't have to worry over that. But we must bring our lives into adjustment, into alignment with his divine purpose. And my life must be ordered by him if I'm going to experience his power. I don't have any rights to my life. I don't really have any rights in my life when it comes to the will of God and the power of God. He will have to direct me. He will have to lead me. And I must want that leadership. God did not give me the liberty to run my own life. And I found out in a hurry, if you're going to experience his power, if God will use you to bless others, you'll have to have his power, but he must order your life. He has to do it. There's no other way. So God's power is associated with a divine person. But also in this text, I notice that God's power is associated with a diligent performance. He said, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. He did not say, I hope you will be witnesses. That's what preachers say. We hope they will. But God said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. He knew he was going to perform something in their life, and the result of that would be his witnesses. But we need power in this thing, and God's power is associated with the work that he has called me to do. Now think about that, and listen to that closely. Some are called to a specific work, but all the saved are called to be spiritual witnesses. God calls some to preach, some to be missionaries, and I don't know, I don't go much further than that with it. But nevertheless, my friend, God associates his power with your diligent performance of his will. Think of it. When we are not lazy or indifferent, but diligently performing that will of God, we can expect God's power to be equal in measure to the work. Equal in measure to the work. God will give me power how to do the job that he has given me to do. It's that simple. There's nothing problematic about this. I mean, if I'm doing what God sent me to do, whether it be a specific work or a spiritual witness, then God will be there, and God will provide the measure of power for the job he's given me to do. Amen. Think about it now. However, I do believe that there is room in every life for expansion. I believe that God can increase your capacity for power. I believe that as the job demands, that He can increase whatever needs to be in your heart and in your life. But there's one thing about it. We should never live our lives desiring to have someone else's measure of power. You will have their power when you have their job. Amen. No use of me laying around the floor squalling to God and begging God for the power of one of these giant preachers today. When I get their job, I'll have their power. Does that make sense? No use me whining to God about it. He knows I pastor Olive Grove Baptist Church, about 100 in Sunday school, and He knows every need there. And I learned I can beg for power and beg for power, but He's going to give me exactly what I need at a pastor Olive Grove Baptist Church. And it's the same with you. God knows where you're at. He knows what you're doing, and He'll give you the measure of power. No use for me laying around. Well, I like the power on Brother Doug a while ago. And I can go just lay and cry and say, God, why don't you give me Doug's power? And God say, you don't have Doug's job. You see what I'm saying? It's really not so hard as we make it out to be. When we surrender ourselves unto God, realize and welcome the Holy Ghost in our heart and do God's will, we don't have to worry about power. You see, it'll be equal in measure to the work. But it'll also be efficient for maintaining the work. You see, that power's been running for some 2,000 years now. And in spite of the condition of churches today, I don't think we're about to run out of power. Maybe fuel, maybe electricity, all of those things. But I just happen to believe there's no shortage of power today. We may not be welcoming the Holy Ghost in our hearts and in our churches. That could be a problem. I agree to that. And we may not be diligently performing the will of God, but God is not short on power this morning. Amen. Oh, think about it. It'll be efficient for maintaining the word. Now, that helps me personally. There should be no doubting and no despair. Sometimes I look at the problems. Brother Doug was mentioning a while ago, the problems at my church, they arise sometime. Amen. I could park there, but I'm not going to. That's not nothing to you. But I'll tell you one thing, it's helped me a whole lot. And Brother Doug been over here about 35. I've been in Olive Grove 30. And are there times that we might be tempted to run? Yes, for just a moment. But then we realize there's a God in heaven and His power's sufficient for maintaining the work. I don't have to doubt. I don't have to despair. We might go through the dry spells and the rough parts, but we know coming out of that, that God's power is sufficient for maintaining the work. I praise His name that it is so. But there should be dependence upon God and a confidence that He will supply the need for the job at hand as we diligently perform His will. Thirdly and finally, God's power is associated with a distinct place. Same verse. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and on the uttermost part of the earth. Now we have no record that any one of these apostles went to the uttermost part of the earth. We don't have a record that they did. Now, even Paul, even though he evangelized many parts of the known world, he was led of the Spirit to each specific place. And even though these apostles might have not covered the whole globe, yet they did go where God sent them. That's what's required of me. That's what's required of you, is to go where God sends you. That sums the whole thing up for the program of God. God has a place for every Christian. And He'll dispense His power only as I obediently fill the place that He has for me. Do you believe that? I said, God's not going to put his power just on anything. We're talking about the way and the manner in which God dispenses his power. And he associates it with a divine person. And it has to do also with a diligent performance. But it has to do with a distinct place. Now, it might be a distant place. That's for sure it was with these fellas. But don't you feel sorry this morning for foreign missionaries. They wouldn't be happy, neither would they be useful anywhere else but where God has put them. Amen. You say, I don't see why they don't just come home. Well, they wouldn't be happy if they did. Amen. They're happy where God puts them. I don't know what the people say, when you coming back to our area? I'd say, well, I'm not interested at the time. But whenever God wants that, if he ever does want that, I'll be back in this area and I'll be happy. In my 30 years of ministry at Olive Grove, I don't know what the pulpit committees that have come by, and that's always an honor. That's a humbling thing. But many of them have talked to me, and I say, it's just like this. God hadn't said anything, and I don't want to wind up at your place unhappy. That wouldn't be good for me or you. But to go where God says go and to feel the place that God will have you to feel is to have joy unspeakable and full of glory, and God will use you there. God will use you there. It may be a distant place. It will be a demanding place. I can guarantee that. As I said, you might be a missionary, a stay-at-home mom, a factory worker, a school teacher, but whatever your vocation is, being a witness for Christ is very demanding. And you see, that's what he's called us all to do, is to be witness for him, and that is very demanding. Now, there are some few fellows that have a natural courage when it comes to witnesses. Witnessing, they can just walk up to anybody, stranger, just walk up, and that's all right. Sometimes God has to rein that in and temper it with the Holy Ghost. And then there are those like myself that are, hesitant and this and that, and God has to give us a good kick every now and then to get it done. But you see, God works in all of this. But the thing about it is, I must realize this thing can be very demanding. And it doesn't take you long knocking on doors to understand you must have the power of God. But I have the assurance that I will have that power if I'm where God put me, if I'm doing what he wants me to do. This is why a Christian should always pray about the place God would have them employed. You say, preacher, I'll take a job the way it is now. I'll take a job anywhere I can get it. Well, be careful, because God can open up doors. Amen. God expects us to pray, and I tell my church members, pray about where God wants you employed, because you see, he has a purpose for you there. He wants to use you as a witness there. He wants to empower you, and he will if you're where he wants you to be. Very important. We are nothing but losers. Tell you the truth now. We are nothing but losers if we don't have God's power on our life. You can still go through the form. But that's all it is a form. You can still tell the plan of salvation, but I want to tell you something that Paul said, he said, in power and in the Holy Ghost. I like that, don't you? Listen, it will be a demanding place, that's for sure. I mean, you say, well, if I could just get out of this place, if I could just find another job. They're so wicked here. I worked at a place one time at Hickory. That's the wickedest place I've ever seen in my life. God had just called me to preach. That place was so evil. You wouldn't believe it if I told you. But I was praying around, oh God, I want you to get me out of there. I don't see how you think I can live for you there. I don't know what you're doing with me there anyway. There's a heathen. They're hardened and they're not going to listen to anything. Plus I was young, about half afraid to talk to most of them. One day this guy, and one I would have been probably more intimidated of than any of them, because he was a pretty intelligent fellow. And he came in one morning, and he always run in his mouth, but he wasn't saying anything. Along about 8:30, he motioned for me to come over. And he said, I want to ask you something. He said, I don't claim to be a Christian, never have cared anything about it. But he said, last night, for lack of anything to do, he said, there's a big family Bible on the table, and he said, I flipped it open. And it fell. He said, I guess the name of the book is something like Nahum. Now get this. This guy at the time helped the record over at Hudson Drag Strip for just a streetcar, whatever you would call them. He held the record for that. And the Bible fell open to Nahum where it talked about in the last days, their chariots had run as lightning. And they jostle against one another. He said, I ain't got a lot of sense. But he said, that sounds like cars to me. I said, it sure does to me too. He said, well, if that is so, he said, if that's right, the Lord's a-coming before long. I said, you got it right, brother. And you know, that old boy got saved, and God said, all right, you can leave. You see, it pays to be where God, you might not understand it, and it will be rough at times, but God plans to use you there. And He'll supply the power. Last of all, it will be a delightful place. The outward circumstances may be demanding, the inward trials may be fierce, but to be where God sends you and thus experience His power working in you and through you will always bring joy and comfort to your heart, and peace and assurance to your mind. I want to be where God wants me to be. I need His power. I need His presence. I need His fellowship. Besides that, it's miserable trying to serve God where you don't belong. Amen. Find God's will. Submit your life to the order of the Holy Ghost. Do God's will, and He'll supply the power. I promise you. Equivalent to your need, He will supply the power. You won't have to worry about that. Bless you.
Appreciate that preaching. Amen. That's what we need. That's what Brother Tom preached about last night, the power of the Word of God. And he's going to be preaching on power.